This is Talk of the Nation. Neil Conan is away. I'm Guy Raz here in Washington. John McCain will be 72 years old on Inauguration Day, and if he wins this election in November, he'll be the oldest person to take the oath of office in U.S. history. Now, with so much focus on race and gender in the campaign, is John McCain also breaking barriers? Lots of jobs have age limits, commercial airline pilots, for example. But not the presidency. The Constitution says you only have to be 35. In a few moments, we'll talk with a columnist who thinks 72 is too old, plus a doctor who says age ain't nothing but a number. Put current politics and candidates aside and ask yourself, when is old too old to be president? Our number here in Washington, as always, 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can comment on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Later in the hour, a publisher who's taking a shot at his own industry. Too many books, he says, are junk. But first, age and politics. Joining us now from our bureau in New York is Charles Blow. He's an op-ed writer for the New York Times. Charles, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, John McCain is actually very good at being self-deprecating about his age.
Yes, he is. But
you write that he should quit doing that entirely.
I think that it's a bad thing for him to do. I think that it hurts him a bit, particularly because in this race, there's a big contrast between John McCain and Barack Obama. You have a candidate in Barack Obama who bragged about playing basketball before every primary and who only had to issue one page of a medical statement to say that he's fit, who the camera loves. And in that context, McCain's age becomes even more of an issue for him and for people who are asking themselves, you know, is this a candidate who's going to make the best decisions, who's going to be healthy for the duration of his presidency. And I think that those questions become ever more prominent in the context of Barack Obama.
I mean, but don't you think it makes him somewhat more endearing to voters? I mean, John McCain recently said his grandchildren accuse him of hiding his own Easter eggs.
I think that he could – there's a strategy by which his age could be more endearing. I think that, you know, there's – we have had candidates, including Ronald Reagan, who were able to pull off an elderly gentleman statesman persona on the campaign trail. I don't think that McCain is doing that very well. And part of it is just, you know, people have kind of a visceral reaction to the visual that you get from John McCain. He's injured. He has been injured in Vietnam. He's had several surgeries on his face. It kind of gives him he looks his age, and that kind of hurts him when it worked for Reagan because he had full head of hair and he's very photogenic and he came across as a bit younger than he was.
And in your article, you mentioned that while Barack Obama drops references to Jay-Z, John McCain is singing Barbara Ann by the Beach Boys. Early Beach Boys at that.
Exactly. That was actually one of my colleagues who wrote that. That was Adam Nagurney. I actually had to look up Barbara Ann. I'm 37 years old. I didn't even know this song. But I think that's not a problem in and of itself. Playing to your strengths and to the generation in which you were raised is not necessarily a problem for him. I think the problem comes when he tries to make light of it and keeps it in people's minds even when they want to move past it.
Now, lots of jobs have a maximum age requirement, as we already mentioned in our introduction, airline pilots, for example. I think even at the New York Times, there's an age requirement. There's a maximum age requirement.
For the executive editor.
Right, 65, is that right?
Exactly.
So do you think that maybe we should consider this for the presidency?
I think it's a fair question. I think it's a very fair question when there are a number of factors. You mentioned earlier things like airline pilots. In some states, you can't even be a judge past a certain age. When the rigors of the job and the weight of the decisions that you make are or in some cases, life-threatening or in other cases, very profound, I think it's very fair to take that into the context of your decision-making when you're picking a president. It doesn't have to be the only factor in choosing a president, but I think it's a fair question to ask.
Charles Blow is with us. He's an op-ed writer for The New York Times. Charles, it turns out that a recent poll found most people actually think John McCain is a lot younger than he really is. So maybe your advice that he ought to, you know, tone down the self-deprecating humor isn't all that helpful.
Well, they think he's younger, but a poll we did at The New York Times last year found that people thought the best age for a president was in their 50s. And I think that, you know, everything skews a bit younger. But I think when he himself opens Pandora's box and says, you know, I'm older than dirt with more scars than Frankenstein, it's hard to get that genie back in back in the bottle. And then more people talk about it, and he keeps talking about it, and right. It never quite goes away.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call. Jason is on the line with us from Phoenix, Arizona. Jason, welcome.
Hello. Hello there.
Hi,
Hello.
How are you? You're on the air.
Oh, good. I think there definitely should be a cutoff age. I'm a maintenance manager of a retirement community here in Phoenix, Arizona. I deal with people anywhere from 55 to 95 on a daily basis. And I think after a certain age, you just get soft. People start to deteriorate, and they aren't capable of making quick decisions, let alone hard ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's just something I happen to see on a daily basis. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that was my statement, and as far as someone being 72, I wouldn't, as some of the people in the park, I wouldn't think they were capable of, at 72, picking up my dry cleaning, let alone running the country.
Mm-hmm.
So,
let me ask you both this question. First, Charles Blow, if the situation was reversed, if Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton were the nominee and they were 71 and John McCain was the younger man, would we be having this discussion at all?
I think it's fair in any context. I think, you know, the people have tried to lump all of these questions into one basket, that there's a gender question, there's a race question, and there's ageism. But age exists in another kind of zone, because it's something that we will all experience, and it's something that we have, so many of us have a very intimate experience with, either as a Jason who works around elderly people, or if it's us be taking care of an elderly parent or a grandparent, or seeing people age. And through that prism, we learn a lot about how the body does deteriorate. Now, people age at very different rates. You know, one person's 72 may be another person's 50. And there have obviously been, you know, great leaders who have been very old. There are tons of CEOs right now who are in their 70s who run, you know, big corporations.
Fortune 500 companies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone ages differently, but again, I say it's a fair question to ask, and you have to evaluate, you know, each person.
Mm-hmm. And Jason, surely, I mean, some of the people you work around in Phoenix, Arizona at the Old Age Center are probably fit to run a company.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And the problem I have with it is that there are people that suffer certain and varying degrees of dementia. And so one day they're fine, and they can appear in public and, you know, come down to the clubhouse and interact with people, and they're completely normal. And then the next day they will launch into a vulgar, profane tirade at the drop of a hat over nothing. Mm-hmm. And it's yeah, you could tell it's the dementia taking over, and they're not quite aware of who they are and what's going on. It's a scary thing to see someone functioning so well in one instance and in certain situations, and in another situation fly completely off the handle over something mundane. And if I may add, I'm from Generation X. You know, I'm in my 30s, and we tend to view the world a whole lot differently than the previous generation, McCain's generation. And I don't think we're inheriting this country, the way I look at it, and he does not line up with our views on anything, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, when you asked at the beginning whether it was Hillary or Barack, if they were the same age as him, I would feel the same way about the age issue, because it's just someone from a completely different generation and a completely different time.
Well, Jason, thanks.
See the world like we do.
Jason, thanks so much for your comments. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Joining us now from the studios at the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press is Michael Dimmock. He's the associate director there and has the latest polling numbers on this issue of age in the election. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what do people think about age in the presidency?
Well, I think Charles is dead on. Age is a potentially big issue in this election. A year ago, before the election really got going, we asked people about a big variety of traits that various candidates might have. And one of them was, well, what if a candidate were in their 70s? Would that make you more likely to support that candidate, less likely, or not make a difference? And nearly half the people said that it would make them less likely to support the candidate. That's as bad as a candidate being Muslim, having used drugs in the past, other kind of things that are potentially problematic for the American public. Now, when it comes to McCain, it's not quite that bad. When we ask people, well, as you may know, John McCain is 71. Do you think John McCain is too old to be president? Only about a third of the people we talked to this February told us that they felt that McCain himself was too old to be president. So in some ways, his own character and traits may alleviate some of this. But there's certainly, if a third of the public is telling us that 71 is too old, as applies to McCain, that's a lot of voters.
Hey, briefly, Charles Blow, can you be accused of being an ageist?
I certainly hope not. I think that, you know, ageism implies a kind of discrimination against the elderly, that you have certain prejudices and uninformed biases about people who are older. I don't believe that that's true about me. I think that what I look at is that I, just like the caller before, like Jason, have seen people who start to deteriorate, and it's a, you know, I've had enough older people in my family and people I've seen in the community and people I've worked with that it's just a fact of life that our bodies expire. We get slower. Our abilities to make decisions quickly deteriorates. And that means that I think we have to start thinking about, talking about, and evaluating each person who gets of a certain age to say, you know, is this person fit to do this job?
Charles, thanks so much for joining us. Charles Blow is an op-ed writer for the New York Times. He was with us from our bureau in New York. Again, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We're talking about age in the presidency. How old is too old? 800-989-8255. I'm Guy Raz. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Guy Raz in Washington. We're talking about age in politics. How old is too old? Put current politics and candidates aside, be honest with us. When is old too old to be president? Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. Our email address, talk@npr.org, and comment on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Our guest is Michael Dimmick. He's associate director at the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Their poll on the issue of age in this campaign was released earlier this year. And Michael Dimmick, I was struck by one statistic that you had in your polling data that showed actually seniors are the ones who think the age issue is more problematic than younger folks. What does that tell us?
Right. Well, you might expect that it's the young people, as your earlier caller expressed, that might have the most concerns about the generational divide, that people who are in their 70s just don't really represent our values and views. But that's not what our poll found at all. In fact, when we asked people whether McCain at age 71 is too old to be president, it was 40% of people who themselves are 65 and over who felt that he was too old. Only about a quarter of the people who are under age 35 felt the same way. So there's not a sense among young people that there's a clear distinction or cutoff of age. It's actually the older people who expressed more concern about that.
Glenn is on the line with us from Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Hello? Is that right, Glenn?
Yeah, this is Glenn. I'm in Wisconsin. I was just calling in because I don't think that age should make a difference as long as somebody is mentally fit. You know, like, it's like saying that the old saying is, like, you know, the older you get, the wiser you get. And I think that, you know, someone with age would actually do our country a little better, you know, a little more wisdom, been through a lot more, you know, seen a lot more stuff than the younger people. Mm-hmm. And like the caller said earlier that that we're going to inherit this country. I'm 33 years old, and yes, we are inheriting this country, and we need to take the advice and the wisdom from the older people that have run this country before.
Mm-hmm. Fair point. Michael Dimmick, have you found that people are saying what Glenn is saying, that, you know, people who are older have life experiences that young folks just don't have?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, people definitely want experience in their political leaders. In fact, one of the only traits that tested worse than being in their 70s was a candidate who didn't have elected experience in their past. That was something that most people found to be a turnoff. I think that the issue of age as it plays out is candidate specific. And I think the examples historically are relevant. Bob Dole, when he ran for president, was about a year older than John McCain. And it really didn't work well for him. It became the butt of a lot of jokes. It became the caricature of Bob Dole that persisted through the campaign and even got worse and worse, the polling suggested, as the election proceeded. Whether that will be the case for McCain or not, I think, has a lot to do with the dynamics of the campaign and how he's able to carry himself and avoid any of the potential problems or missteps that might accentuate the concerns about age, some of the issues that Charles Blow was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, thanks so much for the call.
Thanks a lot.
I'd like to bring in now Dr. Leo Cooney. He is joining us from his office in New Haven, Connecticut. He is the chief of the section of geriatrics at Yale University School of Medicine. Dr. Cooney, thanks for being with us.
Glad to do so.
How concerned should people be about a presidential nominee's age?
I don't think they should be very concerned at all. I agree with the previous caller that I think annual physicals over the age of 65 should include an assessment of somebody's cognitive function. But given that the incidence of dementia between 70 and 74 is only about 3%, and I think historically, certainly from England, we've had some wonderful leaders who entered the prime ministry as old as 83.
Winston Churchill was in his 70s.
Winston was 65 when he first started as prime minister. He was 75 during his second term. William Gladstone was 83 mm-hmm. when he started his
one of the great prime ministers in British history.
Right. Tip O'Neill was 65 when he started as Speaker of the House.
Dr. Cooney, I want to read an email we received from Helen. She writes, "I'm 77 years old, and I know I do not have the quick thinking that I used to have. I would never vote for a president over the age of 70. Even though everyone ages differently, I would never vote for someone over 70 to take on a role as important as president." What do you think about that?
I think everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I don't agree. I think there's a certain degree of wisdom that does come oftentimes with experience. And I think historically we've had spectacular leaders who have taken on their role in their mid to late 70s. Conrad Adenauer, Pope John XXIII. I mean, history has studded with people who have made enormous contributions at this age.
So essentially your argument, Dr. Cooney, I mean, you are the chief of the geriatric section at Yale University. Your argument is that it's actually physical fitness rather than age.
I actually would say cognitive fitness more than physical uh-huh. fitness. I think the key thing is thinking. Physical fitness is important. I don't mean to say that it's not, but I think I'm most concerned in someone's cognitive ability, their thinking ability.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. Dharma is on the line in Tucson, Arizona. Dharma, welcome.
Thank you. I'm president and medical director of the Alzheimer's Research and Prevention Foundation in Tucson. I'm 62 years old. I've been doing this work for over 20 years. And I disagree with Dr. Cooney. First of all, the statistics, according to the Alzheimer's Association's website, show that 10% of people over age 65 have dementia, and this number increases to 85%. To age 85 is 50%. So someone Senator McCain's age probably falls in about 12%. Plus, it's recently been shown that there's something called mild cognitive impairment, which is a preliminary form of Alzheimer's. It can progress. And frankly, I think I've seen some dings, if you will, in Mr. McCain, some of the mistakes he's made on the campaign trail. So I personally don't think he's a good candidate, and I, you know, stress.
Dharma, are you basing that only on age, or are you factoring in politics?
Pardon me?
Are you factoring in politics as well when you say that? Are you basing this purely on his age?
No, not on his age. And what I see in symptomatology, I see that he's making mistakes, plus mm-hmm. the stress of being president, because stress can accelerate these symptoms, I think will make it worse. So I don't think that he's really a good candidate, and I think that he's someone who does show signs of cognitive decline, albeit early and mild, but this can only get worse. I don't think it can get better. You know, in general, for someone his age, he's in good shape, but I don't think he's in good shape to be president. That's my professional opinion.
Dr. Cooney, what do you make
of
this?
Again, the numbers that I quoted came from an international conference in London, and the figure of 3% is for people between the ages of 70 and 74. The incidence of dementia roughly doubles every 5 years between 65 and 95. So again, his risk is relatively low when you look at that age group. I do think that we should get a cognitive assessment as part of the annual physical for everybody over the age of 65, so I'd like to have that information. But I see, we've had experience of older people making enormous contributions in their 70s and 80s. So I see nothing about Senator McClain's age which should preclude him from being a presidential candidate.
Dharma, thanks for the call.
One second. I don't see anything about his age, but I do see symptoms in him that should preclude it. And he should have an MRI scan of his brain and a cognitive test, because I disagree with Dr. Cooney. I think that there are the statistics are higher in that age.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Cooney?
Well, number one, an MRI scan won't tell us anything, because an MRI scan does not diagnose dementia. An MRI scan
doesn't diagnose it, but it shows signs of it.
No, it doesn't. The MRI scan is done in order to determine that there is nothing else going on. You don't make a diagnosis.
Dharma, one sec. Let Dr. Cooney answer.
You don't make a diagnosis of Alzheimer's on MRI.
Dharma, I'm going to have to say goodbye. We've got some callers on the line. Thanks so much for calling. Michael Dimmick is also with us from the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. They've done some polling on this issue. And Michael Dimmick, I wanted to ask you about age compared with race and gender, because we've heard so much about race and gender in this campaign, but all of a sudden age is now a factor.
Yeah, it is, and I think it's potentially a big factor. The problem is there's a willingness to express views about age that people don't necessarily have when it comes to age and gender. If we ask people, well, if a candidate happened to be black, would that make you any more or less likely to support them, or wouldn't it make a difference? There's a socially correct answer to that, which is to say, well, it doesn't matter to me. There isn't that kind of desirability effect or sort of sanction to saying that someone in their 70s might not be as appealing a candidate to you. So we find, as I say, about half the people told us that was something that might make them less likely to support a candidate, whereas maybe fewer than 10% said race or gender would have a negative effect on their vote.
Well, as always, your polling is fascinating and very accurate. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Michael Dimmick is the Associate Director for the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. He joined us from their studios here in Washington. Dr. Leo Cooney is also with us. He is the chief of the Section of Geriatrics at Yale University School of Medicine. Dr. Cooney, I want to read an email we received from a doctor, Paul in St. Louis. He writes, McCain is too old. The problem is not what he is now or tomorrow. The problem is that he will begin to deteriorate at some point, and it's very likely to be in the next 4 years. The median lifespan for American men is 76. Half of them die before that age, and half die after. It's a very serious issue to have an old, inflexible, unaccommodating guy like McCain in office. He's too old.
Well, one of the things that's pretty positive about looking at our older population, at least in the United States, is that they are significantly more capable and functional now than they were 10 and 20 years ago. So when we look at people in their 80s, a much smaller percentage of them have functional difficulties than did 10 and 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So people are aging and aging better. And I think it's difficult to make that kind of statement. The average, actually the mean age now for men is 77. I don't think it's inevitable that there'd be significant decline at age of 76. I think it's, people have more health problems when they're 76 than when they're 46. Mm-hmm. But I think don't think that precludes from being a very
well, wasn't there significant evidence that President Reagan began to deteriorate over the course of his presidency?
Yeah, I don't know that. And again, that's why I would have liked to have seen the cognitive assessment done when he had his annual physicals. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to say that from a distance. It's hard to analyze someone's health or cognitive function by watching them on television. So I really don't know what his cognitive function was like during his presidency.
Carlos is on the line with us from Pacifica, California. Carlos, welcome.
Oh, welcome. Thank you. I'm 71 years old, and I'm listening to all these blanket statements about that it's okay, you know, if you're 71 because the percentage is higher now. I remember 20, 25 years ago when we used to laugh our heads off every time that the Russians, and this was during the Cold War, every time the Russians elected somebody that was over 60.
The new Secretary General, right.
Secretary General, yeah, Secretary General. Then I remember Ronald Reagan, which you're one of your people talked just now, 4 years into his presidency, he couldn't remember the name of his Secretary of State. Okay, I heard him myself on a speech. So what you have to analyze is the making of John McCain, not mm-hmm. because he's 71 and at 71 now I'm feeling much better. What if he's in the percentage that it's not feeling better, or it's the percentage that does not have? I think that you have to judge the whole makeup of the person.
Carlos, thanks so much for the call.
Yes.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Dr. Cooney, what do you make of Carlos's comments?
Well, again, I think it's very hard to analyze somebody's function from television and from external sources. I think you really have to, you know, sit down and talk to the person, evaluate the person yourself. I keep going back to this, but historically, you know, William Gladstone, Benjamin Disraeli, Churchill, you know, Conrad Adenauer.
Queen Victoria.
But, I mean, Conrad Adenauer became, mm-hmm. you know, head of Germany when he was 73 and was a very effective chancellor until he was 87. And then he basically presided over the restoration of that country's economy and social status. And so I don't think there was something absolute about being 71 years old. Mm-hmm. And again, it depends who's 71, but I don't think there's anything about being 71, and I think that older people are more functional now than they were even 10 or 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Greg is on the line with us from Indiana. Greg, welcome.
Hello. I just called to, I was listening to your show and reflecting about my own age, and I was thinking that when I was 20 years old, I realized how naive I was at 16. And then when I was 30 years old, I realized how naive and foolish I was at 20. And I'm 47 now, and I realize how little I really knew about how the world functioned when I was in my 30s. So perhaps losing 2% of your cognitive abilities might be made up for by gaining 80% in experience.
Fair point. Dr. Cooney?
And as truck drivers, like what we say to younger rookie drivers out here, we have a phrase we say, I've already forgotten more than you've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take mm-hmm. my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Greg. So presumably a caller like Greg would be open to voting for the candidate they preferred rather than the candidate who was too old or too young?
I would certainly agree. I think we should vote on what we think of someone's capabilities, not mm-hmm. their age.
I just want to read an email here. This is from Kathy. She writes, McCain's recent statement that he doesn't know how to work the computer or do email, that's more problematic than him being 71. Does that reflect the tendency of older people to not learn and move forward? Dr. Cooney?
Yeah, I mean, I think we certainly can learn how to use these devices, even though we're older. And I would be happier if he was using them, because it certainly is the modern way of communicating and certainly of accessing information. I'd be in huge trouble if I couldn't use my computer every day to access medical information about my patients, about other patients in the hospital, about different disease entities and the teaching that I do. So I would certainly agree that it would be good if he did use that. And that may be a comment which is somewhat concerning. You know, I think one of the very important things, at any age, it's important to continue to grow. you have to progress and you have to continue to grow and be creative, and we have examples of that, people in their 80s and 90s. So I would be happier if he was using his computer and using email.
Dr. Cooney, thank you so much for being with us this hour.
I enjoyed doing it.
Dr. Leo Cooney is the chief of the section of geriatrics at Yale University School of Medicine. He joined us from his office in New Haven, Connecticut. Coming up, publishers are churning out more books, but how many of them are worth reading and keeping? What books do you hang on to and why? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. I'm Guy Raz. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.